Human Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We've got a great show planned for you today. During the first hour, we're going to explore the possibilities that cannabis, marijuana, could actually find its way into the therapeutic diabetes drug realm when we talk to my guests, Elizabeth Penner and Hannah Butner, about the study that they just published. Later in the show, we're going to be joined by Frida Munkacs, talk about her new book, Defying Age with Food. And so it's going to be a great show all the way through today, so you're going to want to stay tuned. So let's get started right away. Let's hit this head on. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth Penner.
Thank you.
And Hannah, and it is Butner. I know I asked you this off the air, but I'm a little numb today. It is Butner, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. Okay. All right, so welcome to the show. First of all, let's talk about this study that the two of you were involved in authoring. First of all, why did you even look at marijuana? What gave you an idea to look at marijuana as possibly something that would modulate or impact glucose and insulin sensitivity?
Well, there was a study that came from out from a French group involving the use of marijuana, and they found that it was associated with lower BMIs. And so, but the mechanism wasn't clear. And so we sort of, delved into that and looked at some other, like animal research, other studies done to try to, see, well, maybe how is this happening? And basically our study, that's sort of what it springboarded off of.
Okay. And there was a study published, and again, it's been a long time since I looked at it, and I want to say it was probably 8 or 9 years ago, that looked at the acute effects of marijuana on dopaminergic mechanisms that precipitate periods of hypoglycemia. So it's been understood that marijuana has some sort of an effect, good or bad, on blood sugar levels immediately after, I don't know if the right word is, imbibing or, using it. There seems, have you seen some of that research, either of you?
Yeah, so during our literature review, a lot of the studies looking at the acute effects of marijuana actually came out in the 70s, and a while back when marijuana was, it's still popular, I guess, if you look at the numbers, but the results were mixed on glucose. I know I looked at several studies. Some said it increased it, some said it lowered it, some was indecisive. Hannah, do you remember the same?
Yeah. So there's very differential mixed effects, and also there's an interesting question of, what the acute versus chronic effects are in marijuana use, and it seems like they don't necessarily match up.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so now describe this study. Did you actually perform a study, or was this a meta-analysis of research that was out there? Describe the study. Whoever wants to jump in, go ahead and do that.
So what we looked at was we looked at the NHANES data set, which is the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, which is a very large, nationally representative survey and examination study that's conducted continuously by the CDC in this country and released in 2-year data sets. And so what they do is they look at a number of factors, looking at health and nutrition and other measures of health in people, release the data publicly to investigators. So that allowed us to look at a really large population of people. So in our study, we looked at about 4,600 people.
That's pretty significant. Were there differences in men and women's reporting of marijuana use, Hannah?
There were. I think the users, current users of marijuana, tended to be younger males.
Okay. Okay. Goes. Not, I mean, really. Hey, listen. When I grew up in the 70s, I'll be 55 this year, and I admit, you know, I smoked a lot of pot when I was a kid. So, you know, but the girls didn't. A lot of girls didn't. In fact, when I was growing up, the girls hated the guys who smoked pot because they said we were dumb and, you know, useless and all that sort of stuff. So it stands to reason that that is still the case. Okay. So looking at the usage, this was self-reporting. Were you worried that because this was self-reporting about illicit use of an illegal drug, that there could be some misreporting or skewing of the data?
I think that's always a concern in studies that are observational in nature. And so that is something we thought about. The NHANES does use a system for reporting marijuana use where each participant is in a room by themselves and uses a computer. So the methods by which they collect that data are, I think, as good as can be done with a survey on that large of a scale. But it is always a risk with studies of this design. Yeah,
because we know that self-reporting about simple things like how often you take vitamins or eat broccoli quite often is skewed to some degree. And then when you add in the factor that this is an illegal drug and admitting that you're using it, even if the person is completely blinded and there's no way to track them back, you know, we all believe in conspiracy, so we're all worried, like, hey, am I admitting to something that's going to come back and bite me later? So that would be the only concern I would have. Anybody want to speak to that?
Well, the interesting thing about that is that, you know, we did think about that as a limitation because, as Elizabeth mentioned, it's always a concern with surveys. But we considered, you know, what effect would that have had on our results? And for the most part, if people were underreporting their marijuana use, it would actually attenuate our effects. So it would give us, you know, less drastic effects than we might otherwise see if everyone was 100% honest.
It would bias towards the null.
Yeah, so right.
Yeah,
you know, you could have flushed them out by just showing them a picture of a bong and seeing if they knew what it was, you know? So what is this? I don't know, glass art, it looks like to me. Okay, this person is not smoking pot. All right, so what exactly, I know you used HOMA, which is a standardized approach to assess the landscape of insulin sensitivity, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so how did you break these groups up, and what did you find?
So using the questions that the NHANES survey administers to its survey participants, we broke marijuana use into three categories. So we had never users who have never in their life smoked or used marijuana in any other form.
And that group was affectionately labeled boring, right? I'm only kidding. I'm sorry. I have to make fun a little bit. Go ahead.
No. So yes, they were our never users. Then we had past users who had used marijuana, but not in the last 30 days, but at some point in their life. And then our third group was current users who had used at least once in the past 30 days.
Okay. So what did you find about their blood sugar levels and or insulin sensitivity levels?
So we didn't actually find a significant change in their blood sugar or glucose levels. But what we did find was that current users, as compared with never users of marijuana, had lower levels of insulin and lower insulin resistance as measured by the HOMA IR model. So while we're not seeing really a significant difference in their blood sugar levels, it's showing that they potentially have, you know, more sensitive control of that blood sugar.
Were these groups controlled for anything? Did you look at anything else, any other factors that were available in the data that would allow you to kind of tease out, well, this could affect that, this could be the reason? Because, you know, whenever we look at these types of studies, there are other factors that may play into why they had better blood sugar. I mean, I'm being facetious, but maybe
Absolutely.
They just didn't eat a lot because they were stoned and they were lazy all the time, you know.
Right. So we did crude analyses initially, in which it was just the raw data. But in our final statistical analyses were adjusted for multiple variables, including age, sex, like we mentioned earlier. The group we were looking at, the marijuana users, tended to be young and male. So we did adjust for age, sex, markers of socioeconomic status. So we adjusted for education, income, whether a subject was married or single, whether or not they smoked tobacco, used alcohol, as well as their physical activity.
Interesting. Did you find any corollary attributes of the individuals that were currently using marijuana? And one of these other behaviors that could also be associated with the lower, the increased insulin sensitivity or better management of blood sugar.
Take it, Hannah. Yeah.
The biggest thing is that current users of marijuana tend to be younger. And so that tends to play into a lot of the other factors that we look at. So younger people do tend to be a little bit more physically active, those other factors might be affected by that. But then, you know, in our final results, we did, you know, that's one of the reasons we were very careful to adjust for age, because we were aware that was potentially a confounder of those effects.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I've got lots more questions. We're talking with Elizabeth Penner and Hannah Butner. We're talking to them about their recent study, the impact of marijuana use on glucose, insulin, and insulin resistance amongst U.S. adults. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail, 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Okay, was geht ab? Guten Morgen, es ist 7:30 hier auf We Got Soul FM.
Welcome back. What he said. We're talking with Elizabeth Penner and Hannah Butner. We're talking about their recent study on marijuana's effect or impact on glucose, insulin, and insulin resistance. Okay, so do you have an idea of the mechanism of action here? And the reason I ask that is this. In your research, you showed that the individuals who were current users also had a smaller waist circumference. Is that correct, Hannah?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
About an inch smaller.
Okay. And we do know that many of the drugs that are used today, the pharmacological interventions that are used today for people who have acquired diabetes, I no longer call it type 2 diabetes. I call it acquired diabetes because that's what it is. These drugs tend to make people fatter in reality. So if marijuana must work through a totally different mechanism than, let's say, some of these glucose disposal agents, because it seems to not only affect the landscape of insulin sensitivity, but it also does not affect the creation of new body fat. Elizabeth, you want to answer that?
Yeah, so we did look into the mechanism by which cannabinoids could potentially affect these metabolic processes that we were studying. So in our literature review and looking at past research that had been done, we did find that cannabinoids, whether they're taken exogenously, like smoking cannabis, for example, or whether they're endocannabinoids produced by our own body, do regulate these peripheral metabolic processes. For example, in mice, they have cannabinoid receptors on their pancreas. And when you stimulate them, it can affect insulin secretion. And then in addition, a while back, there was a drug on the market called Rimonabant, which was a cannabinoid receptor antagonist, and it was used for the treatment of metabolic syndrome. So, and it found, it had some findings very similar to what we found in our study suggesting that, you know, actual cannabis has. For example, you had, Hannah, correct me if I misspeak, but better, you know, improved insulin resistance, lower BMIs, you know, weight loss, et cetera. It was actually pulled off the market because it had some CNS, central nervous system effects. I believe it caused like depression and suicidality in patients.
That's not a good
which thing. Makes sense because cannabis, part of the reason it's so
central
popular
nervous system
is because
depressant.
Of those psychotropic
yeah.
effects. Right. Yeah. So we know that it penetrates the CNS. But so there's a lot of, you know, research out there that highly suggests that these cannabinoids are affecting peripheral metabolic processes, that they are not only causing psychotropic effects, but also affecting how our body metabolizes glucose and insulin.
You know, I'm starting to wonder if activation of receptors is not uniform in a vacuum. And the reason I say this is because you're telling me about the beneficial effects of cannabinoids. And then we have people who've been on the show like Dr. Joseph Hiblin, who is decrying the overconsumption of omega-6 fatty acids because they convert to arachidonic acid and they activate the endocannabinoid receptor in the brain and cause an upregulation in hunger. And his research looks pretty sound. And I'm sure that your research is sound, as is the one on the drug that you talked about. So I'm not going to say, well, you're wrong or he's wrong, but I'm starting to wonder if the mosaic of the receptor is not only, you know, a lock and key, but a lock that would allow several keys to fit, but one key opens the top door, one key opens the bottom door, and one key opens the entire door. Because it seems to me that if the endocannabinoid receptor can both stimulate and suppress hunger, there's some other magic going on here by what is actually activating it. Do either of you have any opinion on that at all?
Yeah, I think, you know, the sort of lock and key metaphor is one that's used a lot for receptors. I think, you know, from what you're saying, it reminds me of that old story about the blind man and the elephant.
I don't know it. Tell me.
Yeah. He feels the trunk and he thinks it's a tree and he feels, you know, so the tail, he thinks it's a rope. So we're all kind of looking at, I think, possibly different parts of a vast picture.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and we actually, the endocannabinoid system itself, the way it functions in the body without outside stimulation is not fully understood as it stands. So once we start, you know, adding on to that, looking at the effects of exogenous factors, it gets even more complex. So I think what you're saying is interesting because it's, you know, it's true. And that's that, you know, there are potentially very different effects of drugs on the same system.
Absolutely. And to build on that, like the two main components of cannabis, when someone uses it recreationally, are so the delta-9 THC and cannabidiol. And those actually function as partial agonists and antagonists, respectively, in our body.
Hmm.
So when you smoke cannabis, it's not like you're, boom, activating all these receptors. Cannabis is actually a mixture of chemical compounds that can affect our body in various ways. So I think that's absolutely true, that it's much more complex than turning that receptor on or off. Like it's maybe partially agonizing it. Another component of cannabis is antagonizing it. So absolutely, it's very complex.
Now, obviously, marijuana use, frank marijuana use, smoking marijuana is associated with some risk factors. And in order for this information to be utilized properly, I see that there's going to have to be a pharmaceutical version of the things, the components of marijuana that beget this this insulin sensitizing, blood sugar modulating effect. Would you agree with that? Because one of my fears is that the media is going to run with this headline and people out there are going to think that smoking weed is a good thing for their diabetes. And this may or may not be the complete picture. How about Hannah? Would you speak to that?
Well, you know, the interesting thing, obviously it's very preliminary, but the interesting thing that I think, you know, our research points to is that we really don't understand a lot about, we don't have the complete picture of what marijuana does to the body. And as Elizabeth mentioned, you know, it's made up of multiple different components. So one of the issues with isolating one component, making it into a pharmaceutical, is that you may not be isolating, you may not be accounting for all of the effects.
Oh, yeah. We see this time and time again when things are isolated in order to make drugs and they don't work the way they did in their natural, complete, you know, medical food form, if you will, or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
So that's one thing to think about. And then another thing to think about is that, you know, obviously the study points to, you know, we don't know, as you mentioned, it's definitely much too early to have this be a recommendation that people should take marijuana for diabetes control. That's, you know, we definitely don't have enough evidence to say that. And we also don't know enough about whether there's other effects of marijuana that may be troublesome to people who have other health conditions. For instance, the last author on the study, Dr. Middleman, was also an author on a study that looked at the effect of marijuana on cardiovascular health.
Yes, endothelial dysfunction.
And survivors of previous heart attacks, of MIs, they were actually found to have an increased rate of recurrent events and death. I think they did an endpoint of future heart attacks. So that might be, you know, there might be other factors which would argue against using marijuana because it may have other effects that are negative.
And this is why, I mean, you know, keep in mind that I'm a child of the 60s and 70s, so I embraced drug use, and I don't frown on people's recreational use of drugs, because in a country where you can buy tobacco and alcohol, I think that it's hypocritical not to let people buy marijuana. I mean, you know, that's my opinion. Will I start smoking marijuana? No. Because I don't like the way it makes me feel. It makes me feel paranoid, and now I know why, because it's causing hypoglycemia. But when I was a kid, I didn't care. I just wanted to get high with my friends, and that was it. But with that being said, there's an analogy that I use on this show time and time again. And it's the horse poop analogy. And I say, you know, there are probably some nutritive value in the undigested pin oats that remain in horse poop, but I'm not going to eat horse poop to get those. And so we have to look at this and say, you know, the gestalt, we have to go, okay, it definitely has an effect on blood sugar and insulin sensitivity, but at what price, at what cost, at what risk, you know, what other components do you have to take into effect? If it didn't have, like, the endothelial dysfunction issue, let's say, or there is some evidence that it causes some endocrine disruption in men, too, which we don't even know if that's playing into the whole landscape of insulin sensitivity, because it seems that there's one study I read many, many years ago that showed that it may increase aromatization and even gynecomastia in young boys. And there's another one that shows that it may actually drop Leydig cell sensitivity and reduce testosterone production. So, you know, when you take all these things into effect, you go, yeah, it lowers my blood sugar, but man, it does a lot of other bad things to me. And the reason I'm kind of hitting this is because my fear is, just like as my good friend Adele Moussa pointed out to me this morning about a scientist coming forth and decrying discussion about obese people live longer. When you really get into the details of the study, that's not true. My fear is that and I love the work you're doing. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but my fear is the mainstream media is not going to dig deep into this. They're just going to promote that marijuana can lower blood sugar, and everybody's going to think I should start smoking pot because I'm pre-diabetic. So that's the only concern I have. But, you know, obviously that's a concern with any new research out there. We have to take a commercial break. When we come back, we've got lots more good questions. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
New from Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes The Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today. Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651 1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure. Wherever you call your battlefield after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete all-natural and organic recovery formula, Am Nutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors, no GMOs, less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition, Am Nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleamnutrition.com. That's muscle, AMNUTRITION.com.
Recover!
Am Nutrition. Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a 1-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
Iron Mag Lab is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
S-T-E-D. Welcome back. Indeed. We're talking with Elizabeth Penner and Hannah Butner about their recent study looking at current marijuana users and its effect on glucose, insulin, and insulin resistance. There was also something else that was discovered in the research, it looks like, and that was there was a favorable HDL level. Is that right, Hannah?
Yes, that's correct. There was a slightly reduced, a slightly increased HDL level in current marijuana users, which is beneficial.
Okay. Were there any other lipid indicators that would say that it reduces atherogenic index in any way other than HDL being slightly elevated?
You know, the only significant thing we noted was a very small change in HDL levels. Otherwise, there wasn't really anything in terms of, like triglycerides were not significantly different
than the rest of the group, yeah. Were there differences by gender, Elizabeth? Did the men seem to fare better than the women who were current users in these outcomes?
In our final analyses, we adjusted for sex, and we did not look at the results by just the males or by just the females.
Okay.
So our study did not look at that.
Elizabeth, was there anything in this study that surprised you, other than the fact that, I mean, it is surprising that, it would be counterintuitive to me that individuals who are currently smoking marijuana would have better outcomes in glucose management, insulin sensitivity, because, we've always known or thought that pot causes the munchies, and you eat and eat and eat and eat, and so, this would be counterintuitive. Was there something else that jumped out at you in this study that made you go, wow, I didn't expect that?
That was the primary thing, I think, is that you would, from those common thoughts, you would think that it causes increased caloric intake, which it does. Studies have found that smoking marijuana causes one to increase their caloric intake. So it's very counterintuitive after looking at it. I think the other thing that, we noticed is, and we maybe knew this going in, is just how prevalent the use is, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of users, and, diabetes, obesity, the metabolic syndrome is very prevalent in our society. And so we thought it was a really important question to ask, since these other studies came out and said, maybe it doesn't affect people quite the way we thought it did.
Well, and I'll point this next question at Hannah. Do you think that chronic use
versus acute use. The chronic user adjusts somehow to the sensation of the munchies, and since they're kind of using it every single day, and I got to believe that people who use marijuana with regularity don't just use it at night to go to sleep. They probably smoke a little during the day. Bill Maher admits that he smokes pot all the time. Do you think that chronic use, there's some adjustments that the acute user has to overcome in order to see these benefits?
Potentially. So that's one of the hypotheses in maybe how this is working, is that potentially chronic use, there's an adaptive downregulation of the receptors. So I think this is sort of a familiar process in, you know, chronic use of a substance, is that you become adapted to it, and it actually potentially causes some downregulation, and so that they're, you know, the reactors are less, you know, the effect is attenuated over time.
You know, and that makes perfect sense. That makes sense, because as a young man, I remember that the more I smoked, the more I had to smoke to get high again, because you become somewhat resistant. Fast forward 25 years, and now if I'm at a party and people are smoking around me, I get stoned. And so I'm so sensitive to it because I haven't been exposed to it for so long that the receptor is probably upregulated again. So that makes perfect sense.
So that may be one of the things that's factoring into this difference in, you know, what we're seeing, what people have seen previously with, you know, very acute, just looking at acute administration, and also, you know, what we're looking at with the chronic administration. Although I would like to clarify, for the chronic users, the current users that we were looking at, I think, I don't remember the exact distribution, but I think the majority of them fell into the category of only using between 3 and 5 times a week. So you're looking at about once a day.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
You know,
that makes
multiple
sense.
Times necessarily per day, but.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, and I'm thinking about, you know, the whole marijuana usage and weight gain, and one just need look at Snoop Dogg. He's as skinny as a rail, and apparently he smokes a lot of pot. So I don't know that that's an N=1.
There's plenty of anecdotal evidence. I think probably in both directions.
But. Yeah, no, you're right. So what is your group? What are you guys going to do next? Do you have some more plans for this data to kind of tease it in a different way and try to find more information? Whoever wants to speak to that is fine.
Hannah, do you want to take that?
I'm not sure. You know, it is really interesting. We are sort of motivated to look at different things that may affect people with marijuana, just because, you know, we're based in Massachusetts, where medical marijuana laws have recently passed.
Wow.
And so it is, you know, it is a question that's on a lot of physicians' minds. You know, what are the varying health effects of marijuana? You know, and there's, you know, a lot of questions as to, you know, for instance, like Dr. Middleman's earlier work showing that it's potentially detrimental to people who have had prior cardiac events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a concern. And then there's another concern, like you previously mentioned, you know, it's always concerned to, you don't want to be smoking anything. So there's a concern about whether or not there's effect of smoking combustion materials on your lungs too. So
yes.
There's a, you know, there's, I think there's a huge amount of, you know, area to be covered, in this research, which is something that, Dr. Alpert, the editor of the American Journal of Medicine, really strongly pushed in his editorial, which accompanied our paper, that, you know, he really highlighted that there's so much that's left for us to understand.
Well, and let's also understand something about the delivery system. You don't have to smoke pot. You can eat it and get high. You have to eat more of it than you would smoke it. But it's very popular in places like San Diego, mm-hmm. where medical marijuana is legal, to walk into a dispensary and buy butter that, instead of having garlic and parsley blended into it, it has a couple different types of marijuana in it. And we all know the story about pot brownies when we were a kid. So you don't have to smoke it. You can avoid the inhalation issue with lung damage, prolonged exposure to the lungs, just by eating it. And I would have to imagine that ingesting it versus smoking it, you're still getting the entire plant and all of its constituents in there that we're talking about here, that if you start separating them out, you may not get the same results. What do you think about that?
I think that's an interesting point, and I think, you know, the fact that you said the phrase you used, have to imagine, is apt, because there's really not, that I know of, a lot of good research looking at the differential effects of different kinds of administration of marijuana, but partially due to the fact, you know, as Elizabeth mentioned prior, there was a lot of studies on marijuana in the 70s, and with, you know, greater regulation and crackdown on drugs, there was a lot less research done. So there's, you know, it's very hard to study an illicit drug like this.
Yeah.
So with, it seems like, increasing legalization both for medical and recreational use, potentially that's an area that people will be able to look at and really get some hard evidence on whether or not it makes a difference how you consume it.
You know, it's funny. I did my first show about the potential benefits of cannabinoids, marijuana, and THC in 2007 or 2008. I had, I want to say, a French scientist on, and they had done research to show that marijuana can actually reduce and suppress tumorigenesis in the brain, that it has a oncoprotective effect. Quite contrary, because, you know, the original thinking was that Bob Marley died of brain cancer because he smoked so much pot, but that wasn't the case at all. And in fact, his use of marijuana may have prolonged his life in retrospect. We talked about that on the show. I'm trying to think of the name of the doctor that I had on, but it was, you know, when you stack pot against alcohol, there is very little good that can be said about alcohol. And granted, there are some dangers with smoking in general, inhaling particulate matter, hot fumes of a burning object. But you don't have to smoke it, it appears. We don't know what first-pass liver degradation or the landscape, hepatic landscape, changes in the marijuana. But we do know that it still gets you high if you eat it. You know, it seems to me that maybe 50 years from now, when social mores are more relaxed, they will realize that pot is better. If you're going to look for something, a vehicle to alter your state of mind, that pot is a better alternative than alcohol. And I believe that the alcohol companies are getting in position for this today. I live in Louisville, Kentucky, and there are rumors that Brown-Forman has already grown crops and destroyed them in anticipation of interstate delivery of marijuana from states that don't, that it's not legalized in, to states where it is, will become a commerce in the very near future. So this is really an interesting discussion, regardless of what side of this discussion you are sided on. Marijuana is going to be in the future of this country. And it may not be the worst thing in the world if more people stop drinking alcohol and start smoking pot. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this interview with Elizabeth Penner and Hannah Butner. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Altrient supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrient C and Altrient ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrient C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrient ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrient cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low-heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
New from Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint at SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes The Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today. Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding. Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
He only smokes weed when he needs to. You heard it from the master himself. How do you like that? That song just came up by accident, by the way. I did not plan that song, but it was very, very appropriate, and I appreciate those in production here. All right, so just a reminder, later in the show, Frieda Munkatsh will come on and talk about her book, Defying Age with Food. By the way, there are naked pictures of her in the book. Just warning you guys out there that if you leave this laying around the kitchen and the kids find it, they're going to know you're not reading it for the recipes. So there you go. All right, so we're talking with Elizabeth Penner and Hannah Butner, and we're talking about the effects of marijuana on glucose and insulin sensitivity and all these wonderful things. So what I'm going to ask each of you this question. I'm going to start with Elizabeth. Elizabeth, what do you hope? Because we have a lot of doctors, scientists, clinicians that listen to the show. What do you hope they take away from this research?
You know, I think the most important thing is to, one, realize that this is preliminary data. As you said earlier, the media tends to run with sensational headlines or whenever illicit drug use is mentioned. And we did find, you know, statistically significant associations in this paper that point to the fact that marijuana regulates glucose, insulin, you know, carbohydrate metabolic processes. So there should be an appreciation for that, but there should also be an appreciation for the fact that this was observational data. You can't take, these are not clinical recommendations, and that I think the biggest message, which both Hannah and I have mentioned throughout the interview, is that further research is needed before any action is even thought of being taken. It's very important because there are a lot of marijuana users in our country. And as you said, no matter which side of the issue one stands on, it's becoming more and more prevalent. Medical marijuana is now legal in 19 states in the District of Columbia. And so whether you're for or against it, as a physician, I don't think one can argue that you will be seeing more and more marijuana users in your clinic. And so it's good to have an idea of how it's affecting your patients.
Yeah. And you'll be able to identify those people at your clinic because they will be the ones that will be patient in the waiting room and drowsing off as opposed to parading around going, when is this doctor going to see me? I've been here for an hour already. So that's it. The marijuana user will just slip out to his car for a one hit and then come back into the office and be very, very calm. Okay, so Hannah, what do you think? What do you hope clinicians take away from this? Do you just echo that or do you have anything to add to it?
I think I pretty much echo that. Elizabeth put it really well. You know, it's such preliminary work, and there's so much we don't know about marijuana that, you know, we really want, you know, all clinicians to take this with, you know, a critical eye to what all the potential effects marijuana may be having on their patients.
Yeah. And what about the end user out there, Hannah? The person who is sitting here listening to this interview right now trying to justify their marijuana use by, well, see, it's good for my blood sugar. What would you say to them?
Well, you know, what I'd say to them is, you know, probably the kind of person who's taking the time to listen to this program is already thinking this way, but to just, you know, think really critically about what you're putting in your body and to really evaluate the pros and cons. And, you know, to realize that there's a lot that's not known and that there may be effects that we're not aware of currently, and that we're, you know, finding out new things about the way that our bodies work and the impact that different substances can have on them every day.
Well, and I'm going to throw another angle at this, okay? If you know anybody who lives out in California that actually is a producer, it's a big business out there, they will tell you that different strains of marijuana produce different effects. Mm-hmm. There are marijuana plants that capitalize on some agents where others capitalize on others. So some are good to use before you go to sleep because they make you tired. There are some that actually make you more energetic and agitated, contrary to what people think about marijuana users, that they're energetic. And there are different marijuanas that elicit more hallucinogenic effects. So when we start to really look at the diverse landscape of this plant and the individual ingredients of these plants and their effects on metabolics, it may turn out that this strain of marijuana produces a more beneficial effect on blood sugar and insulin sensitivity than this strain of marijuana, which is going to further complicate things to a great degree unless we can have truly controlled studies where we can follow a group of individuals without risk of criminal investigation for 6 months or a year, knowing that they're smoking three times a week, they're smoking this strain of marijuana, or they're eating it or whatever. And until we can do that, you know, which we can do with alcohol use now, you know, until we can do that, there's going to be a lot of difficulty reproducing some of this stuff, I predict. Either of you want to speak to that?
Absolutely. As both of us mentioned, it's a very preliminary study, and I think in order to get, you know, the hard data that everybody wants after reading sort of like, you know, I guess you could even look at this as a teaser, you know, like we're finding, wow, this is exciting. But you can't really say anything definitively until you've done rigorous studies. I mean, if you want to say those things, and in order to get, you know, clinical recommendations, you have to do placebo-controlled, double-blinded, randomized control trials, you know, and I think absolutely, and you have to have a standard marijuana because, like you say, there are different strains, and as we note in our discussion, I mean, they have such a complex chemical makeup that, yes, in order to come up with harder more reproducible data, those things are absolutely needed.
Yeah. So are the two of you going to embark on more research in this area? And if so, where can I sign up to be a subject to start smoking?
That's our most popular question.
I bet, right? Hey, can I get in on the program? No, really, are you gonna do any further research, or is this just something that you did and now you're gonna move on to something else?
I'm personally pursuing other professional training and opportunities at this point. So for a while, at least, I'm going to take a marijuana break. But it's been Hannah can speak to herself. So.
I'll echo that. I'm actually going to be leaving our research group in a little bit. But I'm not sure what the plans of our research group are. But I'm sure there's going to be plenty more research in this area because, you know, it is such a relevant question to public health right now.
I can see it now. Hannah and Elizabeth will be gone for a year, and somebody will go, hey, man, have you seen Hannah? No, man. No, listen, I'm being facetious. Do you think that doing this kind of research potentially could have a backfire effect on future research that you do, or do you think that marijuana research is starting to become taken more seriously? Whoever wants to jump in on that.
Well, I think that... I mean, I think marijuana use should absolutely be taken seriously. It's popularized by the media, again, because everybody likes to joke about drugs, et cetera. But, there are 17 million current users of marijuana in this country.
Wow.
And, again, whether you are pro-marijuana or anti-marijuana, you just can't argue with numbers like that. And so I think that it needs to be taken seriously because, as this study shows, it has pretty definitive metabolic effects. And so when you look at it from a media sensationalist point of view, it's interesting and sort of fun to talk about and curious, but it's absolutely, a scientifically valid question and a public health, from a public health perspective, it's also a valid question with, it's a serious question. And I think it should be taken that way.
Yeah, and you're right, because marijuana use has become the brunt of jokes because, everybody thinks that marijuana users are dumb and docile and all these other things. And it's just been a useful punchline, if nothing else. But you're right. With that population of usage, and that's probably just an estimation. I'm willing to bet it's more than that. But it's hard to get hard numbers because a lot of people are not willing to divulge that they are marijuana users, but that's really a lot of people in this country, and we need to understand, if for no other reason, whether to promote the usage for health benefits, we really need to understand its effects, because that's a lot of people who are using day in and day out, and we're just kind of like turning a blind eye, like, well, we don't care what happens, if you smoke pot, it's okay, you'll figure it out on your own. So I agree with you. I think that research needs to be funded in this area. And whatever it comes out of it. Good, bad, indifferent. And that's it. I want to commend both of you for doing this. I think it's an interesting discussion. It starts an interesting discussion. And clearly, in my mind, at least puts it up against alcohol as, a hair better for you than alcohol, which I am a huge opponent of alcohol use. I mean, I drink once in a while, don't get me wrong. I'm not a prude, but I understand that I consume alcohol, which I haven't consumed in about 6 weeks, to be honest with you, because I'm doing other things right now that are more important to me. But I admit on this show that I use alcohol because of its drug-like effects. I don't buy into the whole, well, resveratrol is good for you. No, resveratrol may be good for you, but it rides along with alcohol, which is toxic. So don't tell me that alcohol is good for you, it prolongs life, or does anything else. You'd be better off without alcohol than with it. On the other hand, there might be some benefits to marijuana that alcohol does not share and would make it a better choice for those out there who want to alter their state of mind. So it's a serious discussion. Listen, thanks so much for being on the show today, the two of you.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we'll be joined by Frida Munkacs, and we're going to talk about her new book, Defying Age with Food. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
WLATM 100. stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Okay. Here's a book right up the alley of this audience. I'm welcoming Frieda Munkacs. How are you doing, Frieda?
I'm good. How are you, Carl?
Fantastic, fantastic. And you just published a new book called Defying Age with Food, which flies in the face of the medical orthodoxy and the pharmaceutical agenda who believe that food plays no role in disease manifestation or reversal. So this is really a great book. And also I heard that Randy Roach, who is a dear friend of mine, for many, many years, wrote, a beautiful raving review about your book. Is that true?
Yes, he did. He's also a contributing writer as well. I love Randy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Really, really good. He changed the direction of my show. He really did. He changed my show in a lot of ways when he and I first started talking back in late 2005, everything really changed for me. So anyway, okay, so let's talk about this.
Okay.
I heard you were a vegan.
I was.
Tell me about that experience. First, tell me,
What I really want to crystallize in for the people out there who are thinking about being vegans or are vegans now, tell me about where were you health-wise when you decided to become a vegan?
Oh, that's a great question. I had joined a Seventh-day Adventist church, and they really pounded in, you know, the whole idea of vegetarianism and no meat, and I fell, you know, I fell into the compassion part with the animals, and I started understanding, you know, the beginning of factory farming back then. This was 20 years ago. So I started out as a vegetarian, and, you know, it was more of a religious thing than anything. You know, like, I'm, you know, great, because now I don't eat meat.
Yeah, I'm not harming anything. And I, you know what? And I got to tell you something. I can understand people who are vegetarians because of spiritual reasons or compassion for animals, as long as they don't fool themselves into thinking that it's healthier, so that they at least think of sensible mechanisms to include in their diet to make up for what they're not getting. The problem is when people eat a vegan diet thinking that it's healthier, that just drives me crazy. You know, and there's so much good research out there that show that vegans do not fare any better than omnivores and have a 2-time greater risk at heart attack.
Right.
But you can't, you tell that to a vegan, they go, nonsense. It's nonsense. Because one of the things that happens when you become a vegan is because you are eating junk generally as a rule and you clean up your diet to some degree, you feel better. You go, oh man, I feel better. Well, chances are you would have felt better cleaning up your diet with a variety of different approaches, but that happened to be the one. And you go, wow, this is great. I feel better. Did you notice that as well?
Yeah, and here's why. Okay, because I started out having thyroid problems, and so my, you know, and I was under a terrible amount of stress, and stress totally depletes your acidity in your stomach, so to the point where you can't digest fats and proteins, you have a really difficult time, and so I was constantly felt crappy after I would eat any kind of, you know, fat or protein meal. So, and I had, you know, my mom was on every diet imaginable as I was growing up, and it, you know, in our household, the idea was, you know, you had to eat low fat. You know, my dad was always binging and purging. You know, my mom was, you know, overweight. So I was always on a low fat diet. You know, even in high school, I started starving myself. So I had very bad digestion to begin with. So, you know, it just made sense to become a vegetarian, because as soon as I started eating, you know, you're basically just starving yourself, because I wasn't eating very much, but I know I felt better. Then I started getting sicker, and my thyroid.
How long did that take? Once you became a vegetarian, how long did it take for all of those quote unquote benefits of the diet to wear off, and then you started feeling sick?
Not very long.
Oh, so you were fast at it. A lot of people, it could take years before they realize, this isn't working.
I had such bad acne, Carl. That was another reason why I started going in the vegetarian direction, because I had eliminated everything from my diet. I was never a pop drinker and never really a junk food person, but we did eat a lot of carbs, you know, healthy carbs.
Yeah.
And I was always very thin in high school, and but after I stopped breastfeeding, my face exploded and I started breaking out. The depression came. I started losing my hair. So I started eliminating everything from my diet. And when I would eat, I just felt terrible. So I thought, I just won't eat. So,
right.
You know, you can't.
By the way, that's a completely female phenomenon. Men do not stop eating. But women are like, you know what? I'm just going to stop eating. That's it. Only women say that. You can't find the guy who goes, this sucks right now. Whatever it is I'm just not going to eat. Guys eat more. That's what we do, right?
Right. So I stopped eating, and it didn't make things better. I had a really great nutritionist who I didn't listen to, and he would scream at me like, Frida, you need to eat meat. Eat buffalo. You know, you're not getting your B vitamins, and my thyroid. And I didn't listen because I didn't understand my body. I didn't understand my biochemistry and how all that works. And, you know, I didn't understand what was going on inside of my body. So I just thought he was crazy. You know, when he would tell me to eat meat, I would have every Bible verse, every, you know, research, scientific study about why you live longer. you know, not eating meat and why, you know, fasting was really intermittent fasting or fasting. I was just starving myself, you know.
Now, don't get me wrong. Intermittent fasting is a good thing if done appropriately, but you can't starve yourself. It's not designed, and that's what most people do. They go, well, I'm just going to fast every day this week for, you know, 20, and then I'm going to drink cayenne pepper and lemon juice and cleanse myself. It's like, you know what you're cleansing yourself of? Health. Health that you're urinating health right out of your body.
Right. And then you go and you exercise on top of that, and you're just, I was so freaking exhausted. I went to an endocrinologist. I broke down finally. I didn't want to do drugs or anything like that, but I couldn't overcome what was happening inside my body and the depression. And so I went to an endocrinologist. They put me on thyroid medication. And of course, you know, I'm thinking, well, I'm not doing this right. I should just become a vegan. Oh, and that was...
That's my problem. I didn't go deep enough into the rabbit hole. That's my problem.
Right.
Let me go all the way down now.
Right.
And cut out anything. So you were like a lacto-ovo-vegan at that point in time? You're eating eggs and milk, but vegetables and fruit and stuff?
Yeah, I was doing... I wasn't even doing milk. We made the big, a really bad decision, and we switched to soy, and... Yeah.
Talk about complete endocrine disruption.
Right. Oh my gosh. I cringe. Like literally, I've spent the last month crying.
Okay, so stay there with me because I'm going to go a little long on this segment because there's something that happens to every vegan at this point. Okay, so you have basically a pseudo nervous breakdown where you just start crying for no reason. You just don't feel right. Now, most vegans who are still in tune with their body will all of a sudden decide, however they decide it, to eat some fat, whether it's some olive oil or something. And all of a sudden, within an hour, they go, oh my God, I feel great again. Did you have that moment at all where all of a sudden you thought, I just need some fat. I just need some fat. Did you feel that?
No, if I did, I never made the connection.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
If I did, I never made the connection. I was looking for the silver bullet approach. I was looking for, you know, it was my thyroid. I was on thyroid medication for over 15 years. They never checked my adrenal glands. I would go in year after year to one of the top endocrinologists in the world or in the United States and say, I am exhausted. And as long as I looked good on paper, as long as all my tests came back within the, you know, appropriate levels, he was like, Frida, you're
normal.
No, I don't,
you're fine. Normal. Yeah, you're normal.
And, you know, and it's just so disturbing today to, you know, after reading Pam's book, Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic, and understanding, you know, how my body works and the adrenal issue. And then, you know, last year I almost died. Literally, Carl.
How so?
Died.
Just give me the Reader's Digest version. What happened and where and what tell me the story.
Starting in 2011, I just started declining. My health, I literally went downhill. I was so exhausted. The mood swings were unbearable. And I just said to my mom, finally, I was like, I can't live this way anymore. If this is the way it's going to be the rest of the way in, just have somebody take me out and shoot me. Literally, I was that exhausted. You need energy to be excited about life. And people who have no energy are depressed. They can't help it. If you have a slow metabolism, you're going to be depressed because that's your energy, you know, and you need energy to be vivacious. You need energy to have sex. You need energy to stand up for yourself. You need energy to heal. You need energy to sleep. So I had no energy, and I wasn't eating, you know, to maintain my weight, and it was just such a yo-yo in my head, you know. I mean, my brain was starving to death. My cells were starving to death. And so literally, by some small miracle, I met a guy and was actually horny because literally, can I say that, Carl?
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, yeah.
Because literally, you know, when you're that exhausted, I lost my sex drive.
Right.
I lost everything. And, you know, the dermatologist put me on spironolactone, which is a whole other story in itself, which it's all in my book. I mean, what that did to me hormonally was unbelievable, but I didn't know. So here I was, I met a guy, I actually had enough desire and all the stuff worked right, and I, like 2 months into the relationship, I thought I was pregnant, and it was a miracle. And because of that, I went cold turkey off of everything. They had me on hormones, they had me on thyroid, they had me on spironolactone for acne. You know, so I went cold turkey off of everything. I wanted to go cold turkey, but I was super scared because it was so ingrained in me.
But now because you had a baby in your womb, you had no choice. You had to do it for the baby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I wasn't pregnant. I mean, my body literally was just starting to shut down. My organs were starting to shut down. So, you know, I was convinced that I was pregnant. I went to see, the only way I would be unconvicted was to see an ultrasound, and there was nothing to prove that there was ever any existence of life. And that just, you know, after I got over that whole thing, it just, you know, I wasn't working with a full deck of cards because I'd just gone cold turkey off of everything,
right.
Not thinking of the withdrawal. I wasn't eating. My face was breaking out. My hormones were crazy. But that totally put me on a path to figure out something different, because the direction the doctors wanted to take me in was not, I didn't want to go that direction anymore. I just would assume, you know, forget it.
Yeah. No, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Here's what we have to do. We have to take a break.
Okay.
Your website is mykitchenpot.com. And the book is Defying Age with Food. And we're going to talk more about the book when we come back, because what Frida has done is nothing short of amazing. And she documents a lot of the information in her book to show especially women. This is a book. You know what's funny? This book is really important for women.
Yeah.
Because women are the ones who tend to think the answer to everything is to starve yourself, reduce your fat intake.
Yeah.
Answer to everything. Like that guy in my big fat Greek wedding, everything was the answer to everything was Windex. Women think starving themselves is the solution for everything. We're going to talk more about this when we come back. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the banner ad now. Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Frida Munkach. We're talking about her book, Defying Age with Food. And while I went into the break, I said this is an important book for women because women are the ones who always think the solution to every life problem is to starve yourself. Mm-hmm. It's really a good book for men, too, because there are some very tastefully done naked pictures of Frida in the book. Why did you do that? Is it because I think I know why, but I want to hear it from you. Why did you put pictures of yourself in the book?
Okay, this is, everybody asked me that, and that's a great question. And the reason why I did is because I am an ex, you know, cardio junkie, exercise addict. I spent my whole life obsessed with my weight, you know, and it just trickled down from my mother, my grandma. Mm-hmm. My grandma used to say she had a 300-pound woman waiting to get outside of her. You know, my mom, as a result of all the dieting, you know, and we don't understand what's happening to our brain when we restrict calories and the biochemistry and what the body is always compensating for, either, you know, your restriction of calories or your expending of energy. And we don't realize that. We're trying to fight a biochemical battle, and they've made it this the twin sins, as Gary Taubes calls it, you know, that you're lazy and you just eat too much and it's your fault. And you know, I've spent my whole life on treadmills, aerobics instructor. I had one of the top classes, spinning. You know, I was a little diva back in the day. And for the last year, I couldn't work out. Pam Colleen, you know, told me when I started working with her, you know, here I was dying and I still wanted to work out. Like,
right.
Literally. That's how obsessed I was and worried about getting fat. When I changed my diet to 70% of my calories coming from animal fat, and eating red meat and protein and eliminating all carbs from my diet, I've maintained my weight for over a year.
Right.
Without getting into the a gym for almost at least 10, 11 months. I started working out again in February of 2013. So from March, April of 2012 to February of 2013, I did not step foot into a gym. I couldn't even walk down the street because I just didn't have the energy. I slept for 5 months.
Wow.
So people are saying, we are obsessed that we've been bought into this big fat lie, calories in, calories out theory, based off of a false interpretation of the thermodynamics law. And, you know, people are blaming themselves, thinking that they're fat. Women do the same thing. If that were true, then why are gyms full of fat people? Why do people who go to gyms consistently every year, day in and day out, you see them all the time, they're there for an hour to 2 hours, 5 days a week, and they continually get fatter every year.
Right.
The average person puts on about 50 pounds a year by the time they're 50.
Right.
So how do we manage to put on 50 pounds between 25 and 50 when our ancestors were able to maintain their weight and their leanness?
And they didn't have a gym. And they didn't have a gym membership either.
And they didn't have a gym membership.
Jim Gaffigan, the comedian, has a funny joke that he does where he goes to the gym and he sees this guy who's ripped, like muscular, and he goes up to the guy and he goes, dude, what are you doing here? You're done. Go home. It's like, why are you still here? This is a place for fat people to be, you know?
Well, Carl, here's the scary thing, too, is that this is, you know, what you said about men is true. Usually it's women who are obsessed with their weight, but now it's trickled down to men.
Yeah.
And men don't understand how this is affecting their brain because they all want to look like mini or Arnold Schwarzeneggers. And I get it. But the leanness that people are trying to achieve today is not healthy.
I've said it on the show. That level of ultra leanness is the opposite side of unhealthiness as obesity is.
Yeah.
Because you have to have some body fat on your body.
Yeah.
But you're right. You're absolutely right. And that's the new phenomenon. But what we learn if we look at history is everything is like a pendulum. We're constantly pushing too hard to the opposite side, hopefully to find the middle eventually. And I think the middle is, looking at your pictures, you are not, I would not say that you are ultra lean. I think you have what looks like a healthy amount of body fat, but you're not carrying too much body fat. You're not overweight. You look like the physical form should look.
Well, and it's funny because I'm not even trying and I've lost I'm a little bit leaner now. I don't know what the explanation is because I am eating, you know, I eat six, 6 to 8 egg yolks a day or eggs in some form. I eat bacon. I eat lard and tallow and butter. I mean, I go through 2 pounds of butter a week. I eat drink 2 gallons of whole raw milk a week. I mean, according to the standard American diet, I should be, you know,
fat.
Obese.
Right, because you're eating all the things that we've been told are wrong for us. But the irony is, and this is why critical thinking is so important. When we look at our ancestors, just go back 100 years, 150 years, when, quote unquote, malnutrition was the problem, not obesity. These people were eating bacon fried in lard. They were eating eggs. They were eating so many more calories than we eat today. They were eating animal fats. They were eating lots of healthy red meat from grass-fed, grass-finished cows,
right.
Unpasteurized milk. They were not fat. They were lean. So all we have to do is apply critical thinking and go, what is wrong? And what is wrong is the current message. Let's talk about your book for a second.
Okay,
so you come through this journey, you come out the other side, and this is something that I can ask 1,000 guests, but a lot of women still won't get it. What happens when you tell a woman your problem is you're not eating enough? What do they say? they got to look at you like cross-eyed, like, are you joking? I'm eating 1,200 calories a day, and I'm not losing any weight.
You can't live on 1,200 calories a day. I mean, statistically, it's not possible. And you know who's got a great book? Gary Taubes, Why We Get Fat. I am so into this, and I'm so angry to wake up to this message and realize that I've spent most of my life chasing a big fat lie to my own detriment. And I see women doing this all the time, and they're depressed, and they think it's their marriage, or they think it's their life situation. I'm like, no, your neurotransmitters are not working. You're not firing correctly. And I get it, because I used to be, they would admire me. I mean, everybody was like, my own doctors would pat me on the back and be like, wow, you're amazing. The fact that you have hypothyroidism and, you know, you're able to stay so thin, you're beautiful. They would pat me on the back and send me out of the office, miserable and exhausted. And everybody just looks at you from the outside, and as long as you, you know, have the appearance of looking okay or good, then, you know, all of a sudden they put you on a pedestal. Well, let's do what Frida does. She starves herself. Well, I'm going to starve myself. That's the stupidest thing you could do.
Right.
people don't realize the gut-brain connection and how those two, it really impact your happiness. Like, all your happiness is in your gut, and we are not feeding our guts correctly. I consume at least 1 quart of raw kefir a day with egg yolks, you know, to get that, to repopulate the good bacteria in my gut. And I've got, you know, this is not easy for me. I've destroyed a lot of my body through not eating properly and, you know, not knowing how to eat properly. And I've got a long way to go to heal my brain and my gut. I mean, I'm improving amazingly. You know, every test I do every 3 months, it's right there on paper. Like, I can see the changes that are happening in my digestion. I can see my minerals are leveling out. My hormones are leveling out. But it's been almost, my year anniversary. And, you know, my energy is up to about, you know, 26%, 30%. So, I mean, it's exciting, but this is not something that you can just decide, oh, okay, well, I'll eat better and I'll be better in a couple of months or a month. It's just, you can't break
your
body.
Let's face it. The negative changes to your health and your body don't happen in a couple of months. They happen over the course of years.
Right.
So this, the level of deferred gratification when you're developing disease and obesity, there's no deferred. You don't think about it. You don't think, okay, in a couple more years I'll be 300 pounds. You know, I'm working towards that. But then once you're 300 pounds or you're unhealthy and you're looking for change, it's got to happen this year because I have to go to my high school reunion. You know, it's like, that's not how it works. It took you a decade to get like that. Expect to spend at least a third of that same amount of time if you're dedicated on the journey back.
Right. That's a really good point, Carl. And we are such a quick fix society. We are, you know, movies have a happy ending within an hour, you know. I mean, we expect the same thing in our life and in our health, that, you know, we're just going to do this one thing or two things, and then, you know, like a magic wand is going to be waved, and all that stuff that we've done to our body is going to be, you know, turned around. It just doesn't work that way. And, you know, we kind of got to get out of this childish mentality.
Yeah, of lack of patience and willingness to wait for things to change. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about a slogan of yours that flies in the face of common wisdom. However, my audience will agree with you, and that is ditch sugar and wheat and eat fat and meat. We're talking with Frieda Moon Koch. The book is Defying Age with Food. You can get a copy of it at mykitchenpot.com. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Wherever you call your battlefield after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete all-natural and organic recovery formula, Am Nutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors. No GMOs. Less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition, and nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleamnutrition.com. That's muscle, AMNUTRITION.com.
Recover!
And nutrition. Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a 1-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
She's a very kinky girl. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. The website is mykitchenpot.com, where you can get a copy of Defying Age with Food. We're talking with Frieda Moon Koch. So, Frieda, our country and other countries are plagued with this notion that grains are healthy.
Right.
And that we should, the foundation of our diet should be a grain-based diet. And let's face it, part of that has to do with the fact that the government heavily subsidizes grain, so they need us to eat them back into profitability. Mm-hmm. But when you tell people, you know, to eat meat and fat, don't you get a lot of odd looks?
I get the same looks that I get from women when I tell them that they need to eat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
You know, but it's the people who are really interested, you know, I find that it's people who are desperate. You know, it's people who on the, you know, their diabetes is out of control, or they want to get off their insulin medication, or they're depressed and they're not happy. You know, Carl, the biggest thing today is people are so unhappy. You know, Pam Kleene says it. We have a bad mood epidemic in her book, Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. And the more people you run into, you can see this. I mean, what is it? The number four leading cause of inability to work is depression. And by 2020, it's going to be the number one leading cause.
Yeah.
It's so debilitating. And people are so moody. And we've normalized it in our movies, in our, you know, when we talk to each other, you know, that this is normal. Our kids wake up moody and it's cute. You know, it's no, it's not. This is not normal. We're not supposed to be this moody. And I think when you start to talk to people and they feel comfortable with you and they open up to you and they tell you, yeah, you know, I'm on antidepressants or I'm on anti-anxiety medications and I feel like crap, people want to feel good. It's our birthright to be happy.
Yes.
We're not supposed to be this freaking miserable.
You know what? People think that it's their birthright to get an illness. If you ask the average American today, do you think that in your lifetime you will get some sort of a disease? They'll say yes. Well, sure, I'm going to get diabetes or I'm going to get heart disease. I'm going to have high blood pressure. And that is not the traditional human condition.
No.
That is the human condition under today's dietary standards and medical influences.
Right.
You're supposed to be healthy. Animals don't get sick the way humans get sick. Why? Because animals have a natural life. Now, when you talk about eating fat and meat, unfortunately, the message is just slightly more complicated than that. The types of fat you're eating,
yes,
and the types of meat you're eating play a large role in whether or not this is a truism. And that is, you know, grass-fed, grass-finished beef, chickens that have natural lives that are eating worms and their own poop and stuff like that. That's what chickens are supposed to do. The right types of fats. We know that polyunsaturated fats, which were touted as the ones that we should be eating, corn oil, they're terrible for you. They'll shorten your life.
Yeah. God, and you know, when I was a vegetarian and a vegan, it just breaks my heart that we were, you know, and I had a son, you know, he was growing up, he was like, you know, 2, 3 when I decided to become a vegetarian and then a vegan, and the corn oil, and, you know, we lost all common sense, you know. We lost all common sense. And here's the thought system that they, you know, perpetuated in the 1950s, 60s, Gene Mayer, you know, that you can eat as much as you want. Same with Ansel Keys. You know, you can eat as much as you want as long as it doesn't have fat in it. You can eat all these, you know, Oreo cookies and all these carbs as long as you reduce your fat to nothing. You know, then you'll be lean and you'll be, well, then how come we don't have an epidemic of leanness? We've got low fat diets, high carbs, and we've got gym, you know, the fitness industry is a $26 billion industry as of last year. Okay. Why don't we have a leanness epidemic? Why do we have a fat epidemic, an obesity, diabetes. So if what these men, you know what really, really chaps my hide, Carl, is that these men had no research, no scientific evidence to back up their propaganda or their theories. What they had was charisma. We have, the last 60 years, since 1960, 70, especially in the 70s when it really took off, or what was it, 1989, you know, we have based all this information, we've lived our lives to two men who were just very charismatic, while, you know, John Yutkin had the personality of, you know, he was just a very shy, quiet man, and people didn't like him because he was more reserved, where Ansel Keys was very charismatic,
right.
And he said it and it was truth. Nobody questioned it. Same with Gene Mayer. He said it and it was truth. And so everybody bought into the fact that if you exercise, you suppress your appetite and therefore you will make an energy deficit and you will lose weight. It's the biggest crock of BS since, I don't even know what analogy.
Right. And when you exercise, theoretically, the body upregulates hunger because it has,
yes,
it has to feed all this energy demand and the rebuilding of the body and everything else. And if you eat the right foods, you should put on more muscle than fat, and the end result should be a positive one.
That's why you see so many, obese tailors, so to speak, sedentary people who, like, have the bodies of, like, they just have all this muscle under all this fat.
Right.
Right. What will people get from your book if they buy your book? You have recipes in here, right?
Yeah.
So
I have about 15.
You'll teach people how to eat again. I mean, because this is something that's actually been bred out of us. You know,
yeah.
If you take an animal that's been raised in the wild, lions aren't confused what to eat. They
right.
know. You don't see lions eating grass. At least I don't think you do. Maybe they do for digestive problems. But, you know, a lion is going to chase an animal and eat it. We haven't been able to eat what we were predisposed to eat because of agricultural revolution and industrialization and then the government telling us what we should be eating. So it's been bred out of us. What do you talk about in this book, the type of meal plans that you espouse in this book?
I just tell people to get back to eating, you know, don't eat anything that your great-great-grandma wouldn't eat. You know, or if a caveman wouldn't eat it, don't eat it. You know, those typical sayings, avoid the center aisles of the grocery store. People say, you know, oh, but organic is too expensive and grass-fed is too expensive. Let me tell you something. When you start avoiding the middle aisles and you cut out all your grains and your junk food and all, because all the stuff that kills us is in all that processed food.
Right.
Okay, so you eliminate that. Do you know how much money you open up to eat real food and get back to simplicity? Get back to, you know, fruit was even, 100 years ago, fruit was considered a luxury. It was considered a dessert. And
right.
it wasn't sweet like it is today. It's been so high, you know, hybridized and, you know, to meet the demand of our sugar molested palate of today. So it's like an apple today is like five of, you know, our great granny's apples. And they would have a half an apple with dessert. Fruit was not, you know, they didn't have access to pineapples and tropical fruit in the Midwest. You know, that didn't come along until cheap fuel came along and transportation. So the idea that we, you know, need to eat all this variety. I mean, you go to the Eskimos, the Inuits, they had a very simple, you know, meal plan. They followed the caribou wherever it went, and then they supplemented with fat and fish. They
right.
the whale blubber. Okay, so don't tell me they did that for thousands of years. So don't tell me that we have to have all this variety. You know, I just don't buy into it. I think that we need to get back to simplicity. If you want variety, you know, do that. Eat what you want. But I'm like Pam. I eat very simple. I eat a lot of steaks. I try to eat red meat a couple times a day because of my adrenal glands. They need that. They desperately need that zinc. I eat a lot of egg yolks, raw milk.
How long did it take for you? When did you start to really notice? I see you actually have hair analysis samples in the
yeah.
book. Talk about those for a second.
Okay, well, the hair analysis example, if you would ask me a year ago, I thought it was really foo-foo idea. But I met Dr. Larry Wilson by no small miracle, and I literally had one foot in the grave, and I didn't realize it. I couldn't stand up. I was slurring. I couldn't remember my boss's name. I was just having some mental fog. I couldn't get out of bed. And then by a small miracle, I met Dr. Wilson, and he was into this hair tissue mineral analysis, but everything he said made sense. I spent hours reading his website, and I finally got the courage because I had spent thousands of dollars throughout my life trying to figure out my health, and I tried saliva tests and blood tests, and, you know, just before I met Dr. Wilson, the year before that, I had spent with some thyroid guy who put me on all sorts of crazy supplements. And every 6 weeks I'd get my blood work tested and, you know, nothing was changing, you know, and he promised me, oh, you're going to feel better. I felt worse. So when I met Dr. Larry and I heard this hair tissue mineral analysis, I thought, oh God, I don't want to do this again. It took me a good month and a half to get brave enough to trust him and send him $150 or $200. I mean, that's how minimal it was, where I had spent thousands of dollars on, you know, blood tests and saliva tests and all these, you know, this biochemistry work. And so he kept telling me, Frida, you have copper toxicity. You have heavy metal toxicity. And I'm like, what is that? So sure enough, as I started to understand what he was saying, I sent in my hair mineral, my hair test, and within a couple of weeks, he's like, you know, this is what you have. You have, you know, mercury, aluminum, arsenic, because I drank a lot of wine. You know, I had all, and my adrenals were so exhausted, like literally they were so atrophied. I had the adrenal glands of an 87-year-old. Okay, now make the connection. This is what I want people to see. Is your adrenal glands and your thyroid are what control all your energy. when you have a slow thyroid or you're lacking energy, we have 20-year-olds walking around with 80-year-old, 90-year-old energy. That's not good, because what happens, you know, an 87-year-old is at the end of their life. They're getting ready to go on, you know. So basically, you're like, you got one foot in the grave. You know, and people, doctors don't make this connection. They only treat the symptoms of fatigue, the symptoms of adrenal, you know, failure, because it's not on their insurance sheet.
Right.
So they can't, you know, they can't send it in and get a prescription for it. So they just ignore it. So until you get cancer, until you get heart disease, diabetes, because adrenal fatigue, when your energy system shuts down, that's when you open yourself up to all these other diseases. So to me, if you want to get healthy, you got to take care of your energy, because you need energy to constantly keep your body healthy. When your energy goes south, you open yourself up to all kinds of diseases. And when your adrenals shut down, you open yourself up to heavy metal toxicity. And because you need your adrenal glands to send out those proteins to grab the heavy metals to kick them out of the body. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had, sent my hair in and he sent it back, and I had all this heavy metal toxicity. And you know as well as, you know, as I do, Carl, that when you get these heavy metals in your organs, and when they sequester deep into your brain and your kidneys and your heart and your lungs or wherever they're at, it messes with your moods. It messes schizophrenia. You know, lead poisoning or lead, high levels of lead, aluminum causes Alzheimer's. Well, how do you get that?
Yeah. You have to accumulate it over time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Here's what I want to do. I want to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about something that the women will really, understand. And that is the accelerated aging of skin and how that changed, once you started eating differently. We're talking with Frieda Moon Koch. The book is Defying Age with Food. The website is mykitchenpot.com. Check it out. She has a blog there, too. Good reading. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely
absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now. Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Hello, boys and girls. My name is Fat Lip, and this is my friend, Sammy the Salmon.
What do you do?
Today, we're going to teach you some fun facts about salmon and a brand new
this
day.
Is a Chazzy Fizzle production.
Welcome back.
The princess is here.
We're talking with Frieda Mooncotch about her book, Defying Age with Food. When we talk about anti-aging, quite often on this show, we talk about metabolic processes that are age-related and staving off age-related disease. But in the mainstream, especially when we talk about anti-aging, the skin is usually the topic. Mm-hmm. Looking younger as opposed to necessarily not, and I understand that you feel younger.
Yeah.
And we got that.
Yeah.
But one of the things that women like to know more about is, how do I get rid of this damn cellulite?
Right. And you know what? This is one of my favorite topics. Your skin and your outward appearance is just a manifestation of what's happening inside of you and what's happening within your organs and your energy levels. You know, there's a lot of theories about cellulite and what causes it. You know, you look at people who are overweight and they don't have cellulite, not all of them, and you have to ask yourself, well, why? Pam says that it's the body's inability to digest fat, and so it accumulates as cellulite. You know, other people say that it's toxins trapped in your fat. You know, I can only talk from my experience. I never had cellulite in my life until my adrenal glands went south, and my digestion went south first. So I started accumulating cellulite, and not only that, but my skin started to turn into like a Shar Pei puppy's face. Like,
right.
Literally, it was just started hanging. I never had that in my life. It happened on the back of my arms, my belly, and my thighs. And my grandma had the same thing, and now I really think it was a metabolic issue
right.
for her as well, because she didn't eat. She, you know, did the same thing that all women do, and, you know, she hit a certain age and her skin just went south. And she had, you know, a couple of facelifts. You know, she was beautiful. I mean, but when she died, she was 90 years old and she looked amazing. But I still think there's a direct connection to the food that you're eating, your adrenal glands, and your connective tissue and copper toxicity. So mine's gone. I mean, I've been doing saunas every day for the past year.
Do you do infrared or traditional saunas?
Near infrared.
Yeah.
So I do that every day. And I, as my digestion improves, all the cellulite has gone. The skin is totally healed. You know, when it started happening, I thought I needed to work out more. So I went to the gym even more and did more, and nothing changed it. So I realized at that point it was an inside out job.
Yeah.
And, you know, all this food, these chemicals, GMOs, this frankenwheat, this sugar that's genetically modified, all this stuff is contributing to, you know, screwing up our organs. And, you know, once that happens, you just start to age. You look at 20-year-olds now. They're saying 30 is the new 45 because we're aging so rapidly. We're
really?
15 years older. Yeah, there's a Pam did a great interview on it, and I have the article on my website as well. I think it's, I also put it in my book too. But yeah, they're saying that some Danish research is that 30 is the new 45 and people are aging. I mean, it's why you can walk down the street. Dr. Davis in Wheatbelly talks about it. You walk down the street and people tell you, you're talking to them and you're like, how old are you? And they tell you that they're like 21 and you're like, it takes everything you have, you know, not to, you know, show your face like you're in total
shock
and awed.
Yeah.
Cause you're like, wow, you look like you're 40.
Yeah.
You know, stress plays a big role in that. You know, we're not supposed to be this stressed out. You know, we're not supposed to be working. We're being chased by a lion 24/7, and our adrenal medulla, you know, is not supposed to be working like that. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
We're not. It was only supposed to be turned on when we were running to save our lives, or we were trying to kill our food. But we're doing this 24/7, and I know I was very, very, very stressed out. So now you would think that I was lazy.
right. But you know what? There's a lot to be said for relaxing. And it's a component that has lost favor in society because of what you just said. You know, people think, oh, you're lazy. But the opposite is also bad. And that is this sensation that if you're not always doing something, you're not productive every second of the day, that you're somehow lazy. And the reality is we need downtime to be quiet, for our brain to be quiet.
Yeah, but Carl, think about this. This is what makes me so mad and why I've woken up angry, is because this is perpetuated. You know, with the whole calories in, calories out theory, this lie is perpetuated that we need to be in activity all day long. Think of all the women out there who drag their kids on hikes, and it's about them burning calories. It's not about enjoyment. People have stopped enjoying each other for this obsession of our, you know, our physical appearance, which can totally be taken care of if you just start eating right. Our ancestors didn't sit around and worry about what they looked like. They enjoyed each other. You know, they had family time. You know, they knew how to relax. You look at the Eskimos, they were in the worst scenario, you know, as far as weather and whatnot, but they were the happiest bunch of, you know, folks that, Dr. Weston A. Price and, you know, the other guy,
Francis Pottinger.
Yeah. Ran into. So I just don't think this is the way we were designed to be. We're not designed to be constantly worried about whether or not our resort has a gym so we can work out while we're on vacation, or, you know, every day after work, we gotta go to the gym, and you're a friggin' raving maniac if you don't. You're depressed. You're, you know, the runner's high. You're depressed. You're miserable if you go 1 or 2 days without working.
Well,
the only thing
that I would disagree with, is, and I understand, you have to remember that you were recovering from a very, very extreme condition.
Yeah.
And I would disagree with Gary Taubes, and I've disagreed with him on this show. I mean, he's been on my show a couple times now. I don't agree with the, notion that exercise is a bad thing if you're trying to lose weight. And the reason for that is we don't have the day-to-day involvement that our ancestors had in heavy toil and lifting and working. Most of us sit at a desk for at least 4 or 5 hours a day, then sit in our car to and from work, then sit at the dinner table, then sit in front of the TV. And so I believe strongly, and we've done shows on it, inactivity is a dangerous thing for those who are completely inactive. Now, you went through a period of time where you were really destroying your body, and I can understand why exercise is not part of the prescription right now, but I believe it will be sometime in the future again.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Well, I exercise now, but it's like under 15, you know, Randy Roach and I spend a lot of time talking, and I'm under like 15, 20 minute workouts.
Right.
I only do what I absolutely love to do. I dropped all the heavy weights I was dabbling with that for a little bit too, with all this CrossFit crap, and so I was doing, you know, like really trying to do that, and I'm like, you know what, I have a gun, so if, you know, whatever I make up for or what I lack in strength, that's what I got my gun for. But this whole idea, I've just changed my whole workout routine. You know, I have gone 14 days without working out. My body hasn't changed a bit. You know, so it's very, I do like exercise. I'm not going to lie, Carl, but I don't think it plays any role in losing weight or gaining weight. It's what you eat. It's the food you're eating. It's the food, that they're, you know, feeding us with that is very highly addictive. It's this genetically modified stuff. The wheat is the way it interacts with your brain, the sugar, the caffeine, all of that is really messing up our bodies, and it's, we're in, confused biochemically. So for me, I do squats. I love squats. I do squats, but I'm not going to go to the gym and do, you know, heavy lifting. I'm not going to do that to myself. And I look amazing, and I'm 41.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, we'll see. I'm documenting everything on my blog. So, you know, I'm very open and honest. I don't take pictures with photo, you know, I don't do any photoshopping. So I'm saying, you know, this is what I'm doing. This is how I eat. And you can gauge, you know, what I'm trying to do here is just show you that I've maintained my weight and my, you know, physique as it is.
Right.
Just
right.
through this.
Yeah, no, I understand. And again, I mean, Randy is a lover of physical culture. I'm a lover of physical culture.
I know.
That you could take anything to an extreme where it's no good for you anymore. And that's obviously not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And that's true of exercising too much or not exercising at all. There's got to be a middle ground. There's got to be some sort of balance in your life. And you have to be sensitive to your body and listen to your body. And it starts telling you, hey, you're training too hard. You have to back off. If you're, you know, you start having metabolic issues and you see changes in your body that are not favorable, well, you have to start engaging it a little bit more. But no, you're absolutely right. I think it's a great book. The book is called Defying Age with Food. The website is mykitchenpot.com. There are great blog posts there. It looks like you're very active with your blog. Do you post every day?
I try to, just with this whole experiment that I'm doing to show people that it's not how much you exercise, it's what you eat. So, yeah, I try to.
Now the book is not available yet in Kindle, you said. Is that correct?
Right. It's not. We haven't gotten that far to make it available on Amazon and Kindle. We're working on that. I don't know how long that's going to take. But you can download it on your computer or your iPhone. You can download it on your iPad. A couple of the different applications need like a Google, like a PDF reader.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah.
That'll
so,
work.
But other than that, it's there. It's readable. And what I liked about the ebook as opposed to a hard copy is that I have linked everything up. So, like, even, like, Carl, I put the link for your show with Pam on alcoholism. That was an amazing show. I listened to that, like, 5 times. My parents were alcoholics. So, like, I want people to research for themselves. I don't want them to follow me. I mean, if you want to follow me, great. But I want people to become independent thinkers so
right.
we can start changing the world, so we can start changing the messages. You know, I mean, today, Lear Keith said in The Vegetarian Myth that, you know, in modern North America, 40% of 9-year-old girls have dieted and 9% vomit to lose weight. That's our 9-year-old girls. 81% of 10-year-old girls have dieted. The number one wish of girls 11 to 17 years old is to lose weight. Anorexia has the highest mortality rate of any mental illness, up to 20%.
Wow.
70% of women are on a diet and 40% are continually gaining and losing weight. I think what we all should be striving for is mental stability.
Yeah.
You know, we should be striving for happiness.
But you
how
know what?
Men...
You're never going to find mental stability if you don't have enough fat in your diet.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Carl, say it right now. What does a man want? I mean, more than a hot body, don't you want somebody who's stable, that is happy?
Sure. Sure. Absolutely.
I mean, if you can get both, that's great. But I don't see it. I don't see the both of them usually are together. Do you?
Yes, I do when I get home every day. So
good.
I happen to be
you.
Fortunate that in that area. But no, you're right. Stability is a big issue in this country. And again, mood plays a big role, as we talked about at the beginning of the interview. And you can't have a good mood if you're not getting enough healthy fats in your diet.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Listen, it's been great having you on the show.
Thank you.
The book is fantastic, Defying Age with Food. You can get a copy of it at mykitchenpot.com. Frida Mooncotch, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Carl. I really appreciate it, and I love what you're doing.
Take care.
All right. Goodbye.
Hi. Right, so there you have it. Great show. Hope you enjoyed it. Also, we want to thank Elizabeth Penner and Hannah Butner for coming on and talking about how marijuana may actually affect blood sugar levels and insulin.
We'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow, don't forget, Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Musa. We'll see you then.